Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to the start of a new week. It is the week of the Valspar Championship down in the Tampa area, coming off of the Players Championship. I'm Ryan Balanchine. It's great to have you here today. Hope you had a good winning week. I picked up Scottie Scheffler at plus 260, I think it was. Maybe it was plus 280 on Sunday afternoon, about 12th hole for his round, maybe 13th hole, and just kind of had a feeling that maybe something good could happen there amid a tight leaderboard with Xander and Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark in there. And ultimately that cashed for me. So it turned out to kind of be a slightly net loser for the week. I think I lost $5 for the week, which I can live with that. That's fine. I told you I would not bet Scottie Scheffler on principle ahead of the tournament, but wanted a little sweat on Sunday afternoon and I got it. So that worked out. I actually wound up betting Wyndham Clark at 18-1 after he had hit his shot into 16. I just get this feeling about Wyndham Clark as a guy who has learned how to channel his energy, that in the right situation, he can focus and he can play pretty well under pressure. And unfortunately, the putt did not drop on 18 for him, went halfway down the hole, lipped out, and ultimately didn't get a playoff. So I had it either way. I figured Xander would back down. I wasn't convinced Brian Harman could do it. I love Brian Harman a lot. I think he's a wonderful player, and I may bet him for the Masters. I'm going to look up his odds after we do this podcast today. I may look him up for the Masters. Wyndham Clark, I probably will take for the Masters as well. And since we're thinking about that already, then we'll get to Valspar in a second. Start trying to find golfers from the start of the year, basically the start of the year, who are gaining 1.5 strokes per round on average. Historically, in the last 20 years, that's where your Masters winner comes from, is one of those type players. So I would very strongly urge you to use our tools, keep track of that, build your list now, go find some values, taking out some of the other criteria that you know about the Masters, like first timers don't win, and then narrow down your list pretty quickly. Go get a couple futures bets that you like that maybe you think are mispriced, and then we'll come back to those. Maybe we do that on a Thursday show this week. So today we'll go over the Valspar Championship, opening lines, first clicks, things like that. Tomorrow we'll go over the model for the tournament. And then our Wednesday show, we'll touch on the Singapore Classic, which is this week. The LPGA is back in action, the Fir Hills Sayripak Championship. They've played this tournament the last couple of years at a place called Palos Verdes Estates. We'll talk about that. And I think that's all the action we really have this week. So we'll talk about those tournaments on Wednesday and then maybe try to slip in some other advice. Also, a shout out to our friends of the World Putting League. They have an event today in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They have a 4-person tournament. It's miniature golf. It's putt-putt. And they stream it live. You can get some plus money action on every player in the field. I don't know anything about these players, but if you want a little random Monday afternoon sweat, starts 1:00 Eastern in the afternoon. So check that out. You can bet on most books, but I'm looking at DraftKings if you're interested in that. So let's get in the lines for the Valspar Championship. This tournament is played at Innsbruck Resort, Copperhead Course, par 71. It is a difficult course from tee to green. You have to manage your ball very well around this golf course. I think that's why a lot of better players like it. It gets a surprisingly pretty decent field every year because of that reason, because this is a ball strikers tournament. It plays a little bit longer on some of the shots. It doesn't have a ton of terrain difference. I mean, it is still Florida. So you got to keep it between the trees. Good shots matter, relatively small targets. It's a thinker's golf course. And I think it had a bad reputation earlier in the tournament's life, but now I think a lot of the players like playing this tournament, and if it weren't the week after the players, I think it would get an even better field, to be honest with you. Xander Schauffele tops the table. Patrick Cantlay was in this tournament. He withdrew, and the reason is there is it's not secret anymore, but there's a meeting today between the PGA Tour Policy Board and its members, including the players who are on it. Cantlay's one of them, and the Saudis. So I think that's why he withdrew from this. Schauffele is 8-1. Sam Burns is a 2-time winner of this event. Went back to back in 21 and 2, and he's 12-1. Justin Thomas, who missed the cut last week and one and done'd me pretty good by missing the cut, He is also 12-1. Jordan Spieth's 12-1. I also want to circle him for the Masters, by the way. I heard some really good statistics during the PGA Tour live broadcast about his make percentage from 15 to 20 feet, which is kind of his sweet spot range. When he's making putts in that range, a lot of good scoring can happen because that means he's making unlikely birdies and eagles. He's saving pars. He struggles a lot from kind of 6 to 8 feet, sometimes even inside of 6 feet. But if he's making those mid-range putts, that means he's not leaving those. And if he's making them a better clip, which he has been this year compared to his best years, like 2015 and 16 and 17. So I might want to look him up for the Masters. I know his odds probably aren't great, but he's a very much a public figure to bet. But maybe worth just a couple dollars, especially if he starts to play well in the next couple starts. And we don't have that long until the Masters, like 25 days. So 24 days now, I think. Tony Finau's 20-1, so he's back. He took the API off. Now he's going to go play this event. So maybe that was the even trade. And I really still don't know the reason why he didn't play API, but nevertheless. Sungjae Im 22-1. Cameron Young 22-1. Brian Harman 25-1. And the days of Nick Taylor at 100-ish to 1 are gone. He's 35-1 this week, along with Minwoo Lee, Keith Mitchell, Keegan Bradley, Eric Cole, your 40s. Bo Hostler, well, he's just 140. Adam Hadwin's 50-1. He's a prior winner here. Christian Mazadenhoyt, Aaron Rye, Torbjørn Olsen, 55-1. Sepp Straka, Patrick Rogers, Doug Gim, Billy Horschel, 60-1. Taylor Montgomery, 65-1. Maverick McNealy is also 65-1. Maybe a guy to circle this week. Ryan Fox, 70-1. Don't love as much. Along with Andrew Putnam. The defending champion, I'm just going to point him out and then we'll stop here. Taylor Moore is 80-1, along with Davis Thompson and Brendan Todd, who's been playing some pretty okay golf. So not the deepest lineup, obviously, compared to the last 2 weeks, because you had basically 40 to 42 of the world top 50 in the official world golf ranking in the field for both of these tournaments the last couple of weeks, and they were great. Now we have a diminished number of those players, more like 12. Which that makes it, one, a little bit better on the odds board, right? You're getting some better numbers for this week. But you're still not getting some of the value, like I mentioned with Nick Taylor, that I wish you would be able to get on a week like this. And maybe that's, I mean, Nick Taylor has played well, right? We've been pointing out that he's been playing well. Keep betting Nick Taylor. So maybe that's why. Maybe the books are starting to notice that he actually is a good golfer and is playing good golf right now. He has faded pretty strongly, and I had a first-round leader ticket on him on Thursday, just kind of pulled the trigger on it when he was like 2-under through 5 or something. And he almost got me there. Rory got me there. I had him at late stage to just kind of even everything out. But so, I mean, had some winning bets for the week, but nothing particularly special. So that's kind of the top of the table. I think it's worth looking at the history of this tournament. The Valspar, again, it's an interesting one because Paul Casey's won here back-to-back. He doesn't win anything. Sam Burns is a Bermuda guy. He won here back-to-back. Adam Hadwin won here out of nowhere. This tournament, Cantlay comes back to this tournament because they gave him an exemption when he came back from the car wreck back injury type stuff that he dealt with, and the horrific car accident that he had to deal with. But it's a strange set of winners. There's no archetype other than they struck the ball really well for that week. Luke Donald is one here. A phenomenal putter, not a long hitter. Adam Hadwin, not a long hitter. Sam Burns, a long hitter. Paul Casey, sneaky long, but not long when he was winning. It is Gary Woodland's one here. He's massively long. It's a very strange kind of set of winners. Sam Burns finished sixth here last year, by the way, so went back-to-back. Tried to go back-to-back-to-back. I mean, he was in it on Sunday for a while. I don't remember how long. He shot 67 on Sunday to make a nice move. His problem was the second round, 73. So he's been good here the last 3 years. You almost kind of have to like what he brings to the table. But Adam Hadwin has won here. That was pre the last 5 years. But he was seventh here in 2022. Brian Harman, I think, is someone you're going to like. He was fifth here 2 years ago. He's had a pretty decent record here. Sun J.M. was fourth here in 2019. Really hasn't done anything since. A bunch of live guys like this tournament. Kokrak, Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, those guys aren't playing this tournament anymore. Matthew Neesmith was third here in 2022. I think this was the tournament that really first put him on my radar to bet. Adam Schenck was runner-up here last year. Still not playing quite as good golf this year, but was on that radar. Spieth really attracted a lot of attention to this tournament last year. I was driving back from somewhere in the final round listening on the radio. He finished third. And just, I think on the 72nd hole, maybe made a bogey or something. He needed a birdie to get in the playoff. This is a Justin Thomas kind of tournament, too. He's finished in the last 3 years here, 13th, 3rd, and 10th. So, likes the golf course. But beyond that, there aren't a lot of players who just scream out, hey, I like this golf course. That makes this week a little bit tricky. Also, not having as deep of a field. You know, some of the guys you think about being really good are the ones that have kind of shorter odds because they're good ball strikers. So we're not worried about necessarily as much course history this week because it's a kind of democratic tournament. I mean, the two guys that stand out are Burns and Thomas. And I think you can like Burns here. He's showed up pretty well at times. And I think you can like Thomas too. You're not getting as much of a bump in price as you might hope for him missing the cut at the Players. I mean, you would hope that you would have gotten him like 15 or 16 to 1 instead of 12 to 1 because he missed the cut, kind of ran his mouth about Taylor Gooch and Liv, and maybe that ticks him off, makes him mad, but he does have great course history here. I can't bet Xander Schauffele at 10 to 1 or less. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. You saw what happened on Sunday at the Players. It was predictable. That is basically his career in a nutshell, where you put up a good finish, and it looks like a good number, and it seems like he had a great tournament. And he did, but he should have won, and he didn't. And that's his life in the big tournaments, unfortunately. So thinking about this week, I will... Scheffler's kind of at the point where if he's figured out to play like this, you kind of have to bet him. You almost have to bet him. His odds are going to get extremely short. But someone like Xander, who almost never wins at 8-1, you just can't. I can't get there. I'm not going to get there. I'm never going to get there. So, well, that'll be the only thing I say about Xander Schauffele this week. We will not come back to him at all. We usually get into the tournament model on Tuesdays, you know, the second show for the week. But I do think it is worth pointing out, just kind of looking at players in the field, guys who have been playing very well in strokes gained in total the last 10 tournaments. Doug Gims, one of those guys, been playing very well, had a very nice Players Championship. I think he's someone you got to look out for, playing really good on the approach. Really, everything looks good in Doug Gims' game right now. He just doesn't get there often enough, I think, to be someone that you could bet, but this is a tournament that also produces its fair share of first-time winners or surprise winners. So I think Doug Gim is a guy you should strongly consider this week. Keith Mitchell's another guy that I really, really like. I think a lot of people liked him at the Honda as well because he's got a good track record there as a champion, but I think I would like him a lot here as well. Just good, solid driver of the golf ball. Eric Cole is not playing his best golf. And he's starting to kind of maybe come back to the mean a little bit. He's losing strokes on the approach, so I would stay away from him in those last 10 tournaments. Really, he's borderline break-even. The putting is what's saving him. Other than that, I would maybe throw it. You know, we've talked about Nick Taylor a bazillion times. Billy Horschel's playing pretty good golf, but he's saving it with a short game. There is some room for short game here. The rough isn't so deep that you, like API, where it doesn't really matter. Everyone's going to struggle. So maybe he's a guy to look at. Sam Burns is on the cusp of extremely good golf, but he's putting really well. And this is a surface he likes now. So he likes the Bermuda, putts well on the Bermuda, and particularly the Bermuda that's at Innisbrook. So I mean, you're getting a decent number on him. It's not terrible. It's not great, but I don't know. I think I might try to have him as be my chalk pick, so to speak. And then wanted to point out Andrew Novak as well. He's 130-1. If you look at his game, he's the kind of guy who could win here. Has, you know, enough length, right? He's gaining strokes pretty well in every facet of the game except putting. So you need to have a better putting week, basically, to win. But he's just barely losing strokes putting. And he's 130-1. And he's on this list of kind of recent form. And this is from the players' field. I haven't updated it yet with the field for the Valspar. But he's obviously here. I mean, he's gaining a stroke around in total. That's good enough for me. I'm willing to get behind that at 130-1. I think you could think about the same thing for an Alex Bjork, Sami Valamäki. They're 130 and 150-1 individually. I think that's pretty good. Jimmy Stanger's kind of interesting to me because he really should have won the Puerto Rico tournament. He didn't really need a whole lot of good scores down the stretch. He just didn't get it done. So maybe and that's his only top 10 on the season, by the way. But maybe he takes a positive away from that, brings it to this tournament, and then does something good with it. But if you look at, I mean, he was T3 there. He's T35 at the Players, which is a really good week for him. T35 at PGA National, T38 at the Mexico Open, T14 at the American Express. So the guy's not playing bad golf. This field isn't like the Puerto Rico Open field where there are a bunch of players who haven't played in 2 years and then one of them just wins. But it's definitely not as good as the Players. It's more like PGA National in terms of quality. And he's hanging in there. I think he's an interesting guy to look at 130-1. I mean, I could kind of live in this region all week. Ryan Moore I could live with at 150-1, although, I mean, he just hits so many fairways. He finds himself in play so often that on a golf course this tough, that's a good thing. Do I think he's worth a bet over Sammy or Bjork or Novak or Stanger? No, but I could get behind that if you made a stronger case, I suppose. Tom Dietrich's interesting to me. I like Tom Dietrich. He's 110. I kind of bet him irrationally. Just sometimes it kind of feels like a good Tom Dietrich week. Okay. The six putt or whatever it was from a couple weeks ago is probably still stuck in a lot of people's heads. And that, for good reason, might be a reason to avoid him. I really want to like Ryan Fox this week because I liked him a couple weeks ago. And I may still come around with it, but that 70-1 number I don't love. I want it more like 100. But he is an extremely good golfer. And it's really easy for people to forget because they don't see him all the time because he was winning more frequently on the DP World Tour. But he was T35 at the Cognizant Classic. He did miss the cut of the Players. I kind of throw out the Players because a lot of random results happened in that tournament. And typically, especially in the last 5 years, you really got to be in good current form to win that tournament. There aren't flukes anymore at the Players. The last 5-6 years, it just hasn't been that way. So Ryan Fox isn't playing that caliber of golf, which is kind of why I want him more like 100-1. But the good golf is there. I know it's there. I know he can do it. He's still struggling with the transition to the PGA Tour. But when it clicks, he's going to be extremely good. So maybe 70, if you could find him elsewhere, you know, I probably get into that at like 85, 90. I wanted 100, but 85, 90 I could live with. And they're, you know, different books everywhere giving different prices. And maybe look at like a Bet365. They give really good numbers on those deeper plays. And I'll give a shout out, by the way, to folks at Rivers, Bet Rivers. They do each way bets for golf. You don't really get that in any other American sports book for golf where you can bet two bets and you can get basically a top seven bet or top eight bet, depending, I forget what they do, and a win bet. I like the each way bet because, and if your guy gets a good week, you get a, you know, 1/5 the price basically. It's not bad. But you're really looking for deeper shots. You're looking for these guys down here, Novak and Sammy and Jimmy Stanger and Alex Bjork, guys that you think have the possibility to do extremely well, but you're cutting that price to 40, 50 to 1, 30, 40, 50 to 1 on a guy to finish in the top seven. That's doable. That's livable. I can work with that. Heading back up toward the top of the board, I think I am going to bet Doug Gim at 60 to 1. I really want to bet Maverick McNealy. He had a tougher Sunday at the Players, and I'm okay with that. He's got the capability to win. I know he does. He's been heralded for a long time as a guy who's going to eventually win. Heralded by me as a guy who's eventually going to win. Hasn't happened yet. Came back off of injury. T9 at the Players is a really good finish for him. He just kind of went sideways on Sunday. He was T41 at PGA National, which is fine. T13 in Mexico. T6 at the Phoenix Open. It's almost kind of like people are forgetting that he's putting up good finishes. I know he's never won. This could be a good place for him. 65 to 1, I think, is worth that number. Compared to Ryan Fox at 70, I'm going to take Maverick McNealy because he's playing really, really well. And hopefully for him being in the mix on Sunday, truly in the mix on Sunday, took some things away, took some confidence away, learned some things about himself, about his game. We'll get him ready for the tournament. I think there are going to be a fair number of people who bet Adam Hadwin this week at 50 to 1 because of what he, being a winner here. I think I'm going to pass on him. I'd rather go with Keith Mitchell. I would really like this to be a Minwoo Lee week. It's just kind of a fan of the guy. It's been an awkward year, I feel like. He's played some very good golf. I mean, he's 52nd in the FedEx Cup. He's got one top 10 finish. So he's had some marginally good finishes, but nothing that's screaming, I'm about to win. But then he almost wins because he has a great week at PGA National, finishes tied for second. That's his one top 10 finish, and that gets you a lot of FedEx Cup points. So that's why he's 52nd. But if you look at his other results, T21, T43, T71, T44, T54. It's not quite there. So these odds are way too short for a guy who's playing that kind of golf compared to what Keith Mitchell's doing, Brian Taylor's doing, Brian Harman's doing. I think you should probably skip him this week. Skip Eric Cole, skip Bo Hostler. Christian Mizadenhoy is quite interesting, too. He's playing really good golf. Again, very much flying under the radar. T13 at the Players. T44 at the API. Missed the cut at PGA National. T24 at Riv. T28 at the Phoenix Open. T20 at Pebble. I mean, he's keeping up with good fields. This field isn't on that level. So maybe something to it. Maybe something to like about what he's doing this week. We did mention him as a guy to potentially bet the Players. And I think I might go after him again this week. 55 to 1. I think you can kind of live in that range. You know, maybe you pick Sam Burns as kind of your insurance policy. And then go dip into like a Brian Harman or a Nick Taylor. I just cannot bet Nick Taylor 35 to 1. That's almost unbettable. Maybe a Keith Mitchell instead. Get into Bazadenhoy, Doug Gim, or Maverick McNealy, or both. Then maybe ride down all the way into the hundreds and start thinking about Novak and Bjork and Sammy Valimaki and those type of players. And then maybe Jimmy Stanger. I don't know. Jimmy Stanger and Taylor Moore are not that different of golfers, let's put it that way. So that may be something to look at. And then if you want to go mega deep, I don't think you want to do that here this week, but Matty Schmidt had a really nice week at the Players. Obviously didn't finish it off, but had a very good week. He has the capability to play extremely good golf at times. Wound up finishing T26 because he shot even par on Sunday. But he was T10 at Puerto Rico. And then that was kind of like his show-up moment for the year. He missed the cut in Mexico, at Phoenix, and at PGA National, and Torrey. He's just been on a cut-missing parade, and then all of a sudden he's playing pretty decently. He is very streaky, so if you want to try and ride that streak, 200 to 1 may be worth your consideration. Kevin Streelman, maybe, but he's so short now. That's hard to get behind. Him and Charlie Hoffman are 250-1. Streelman has a good record on this golf course over the years, but that was much earlier in his career when being as short as he is wasn't as huge of a penalty as it is now. Francesco Molinari might be a fun 300-1 bet. He hasn't played a whole lot of golf, but he was T54 at the Players. So got to the weekend, missed the cut at PJ National and Mexico, and then T73 at the Farmers Insurance Open. But he had a good week at the short field, the Dubai Invitational, finished fifth. So there is some decent golf out there in Francesco Molinari. Is it great golf? I don't know about all that. Adrien Dumont de Chassart is pretty intriguing to me at 350-1. I think he is really, really struggling trying to figure out how to play on the PGA Tour. But maybe a T6 at the Puerto Rico Open is what he needs to understand that he can do this. I mean, he came out as a pro and won right away. I mean, made it super easy to get to the PGA Tour from the Korn Ferry Tour. And came out to the PGA Tour and is just, I mean, just laid egg after egg after egg. He made the cut at Torrey, finished 75th. Made the cut at Phoenix, finished T60. Then missed cut, and then T6 at Puerto Rico. So maybe he's working on something. I don't know. But I feel like 350-1 is way too deep for him. It has to be, because he hits the crap out of the ball. And if he can just keep it straight, if he can just keep it on the planet, he's going to be so far ahead of a lot of his peers this week. So that might be my mega bomb of the week. You know, 350-1 is quite deep. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Tomorrow we'll go over the model and horse for course. We talked about tournament history a little bit. We'll come back to that a touch. You know, there really aren't a whole lot of horses for courses, but there's slightly more or slightly better ones than last week at the Players. Then on Wednesday, we'll talk about the LPGA event in California, talk about the Singapore Classic on the DP World Tour, and then we'll try to have a little conversation around Masters odds and start thinking about players to bet there as well. If you want to join Golf News Net, it's available for $40 a year. Join us at golfnewsnet.com. It's $10 for the first week, and I don't know why you would do that, but you can do that. And if you want to try it out for a week and then pay for the other $30, that's fine too. You can get a hold of me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf and Golf News Net. So all of those services that handle Golf News Net. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow on the press.